What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs to get paid for your live stream sets. We have my brother DJ Don King on the line today. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, man. Like you said, my name is Don King. That is my real name, believe it or not. I get that a lot. Of course, Mike Tyson's old boxing promoter, Don King with the crazy hair. I've heard those jokes literally all my life. But I'm a radio guy, so I just had to keep it real with that name. So it stuck for sure.
Awesome, man. No, that's super exciting. Love the name. And I didn't know it was your real name as well. So that's actually pretty awesome. Great DJ name, great real name. And I would love to, you know, hear about your DJ story. You know, bring us back to the beginning. What sparked your interest to become a DJ and kind of walk us through those early days?
Yeah, man, that's a long story because I've been in radio for over 20 years. As a matter of fact, 2020 marked my 20th anniversary with iHeartRadio. So I would say that I got into mobile DJing just a couple of years after I started working for this group of stations. We were getting a lot of calls at the radio station from people assuming that DJs on the radio DJed parties, and nobody was doing it. So I really just saw that opportunity and jumped all over it. And, you know, at first I would team up with maybe a friend of mine who had some equipment, and I would say, look, I'll book the shows, you DJ, IMC, we split the money, right? But over time, I got my own gear, and I've been a one-man show for a very long time.
Wow, that's super amazing, man. And it got to be tough to be able to carry so many things and wear so many hats. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about the skill set you need and how you're able to accomplish it all and be a one-man show to do everything, the bookings, the DJing, the entertainment, and just the whole package. Walk us through that and how you're able to accomplish that.
Yeah, it's something that I've really taken a lot of pride in over the years. I feel like I'm very versatile, and I can do any event. And I know all different genres of music. I've always been very passionate about music. You know, there are some DJs who maybe could do a wedding, but there's no way they could go do a club gig or DJ a prom or something where you got to know what's hot right now. So, yeah, you know, that kind of goes back to my radio roots, I guess. I've always stayed on top of what's hot and kind of incorporate that into, you know, whatever presents itself. It depends on the gig, you know?
Awesome, man. No, so you've been DJing for over 20 years now. You know, walk us through the journey. You started out and you were able to, you know, just jump right into the industry. You were able to work your way into iHeartRadio. Like, just give us some kind of timeline of that journey and just give us like the steps within that journey so other people could realize, you know, what steps to take to make it in their own journey. So just kind of give us a walkthrough of that entire journey.
I can tell you that I've been very blessed, man. This whole thing really fell in my lap. I was in nursing school at the University of Southern Mississippi. And at that time I had a part-time job at one of our local hospitals. And we would have a little downtime and maybe prank call other departments and stuff like that. And I just had a lot of encouragement from my coworkers, people like, man, what are you doing? You need to be on the radio. And then one day, a friend of mine's mother was friends with a guy who owned a radio station, and he was looking for someone to do play-by-play for high school football on the radio. She recommended me to him. He called me up, and I was like, yeah, I think I would like to do that. And I fell in love with it. I've changed my major to radio, television, film, graduated from Southern Miss, and literally a month later got a call from the program director of one of our local iHeartRadio stations who was looking for someone to do middays on the station. So I got a job opportunity, and then it was probably 6 months after that he left to take a job in another market, and boom, all of a sudden I'm the interim program director, eventually got that job. And so I've just been blessed, man. Everything has fallen into place for me, for sure.
That's amazing, man. You know, got that job right out of college, and 6 months later, boom, you jumped right into the role. You're just kind of in the right place at the right time with the right skill set.
Definitely in the right place at the right time. And I don't know, I feel really somewhat discouraging sometimes when I tell the people the story, because it is so hard now more than ever to get your foot in the door. And I really think technology has a lot to do with that, man. You hear this phrase, the robots are taking over. There's so much truth to that, because back when I first got into radio, we were playing CDs. So you had to have a human being in the building 24 hours a day. Now, a lot of it, you've got a lot of voice tracking and just, you know, a lot of times where no one's even in the station, if it's overnights and weekends and that kind of thing. So it's tough. I know that's discouraging for someone who wants to get into radio, but that's just real talk right there, man, for real. If you can get an internship or something like that, maybe that would be helpful, but it's tough.
Yeah, man, it's definitely, the industry is changing dramatically, and you know, you were able to navigate through it within your own, you know, timeline of being in the industry. Talk to us a little bit after you got the interim position as head of the radio station, and walk us through from there. Where'd you go with your career?
Well, so I was the program director of our top 40 radio station here, and I was the host of Afternoon Drive at that time. But I was also programming for our rock station here and doing middays on that station. So I was on the air all day long and programming the music for both stations. A little later in my career, I don't know, I started getting I had people reaching out. iHeartMedia is such a huge company. I had some people reaching out to me asking questions like, how tied down are you to this market? Would you be willing to move? And at that time I was married with two small children, and I really didn't want to move. I like it here. I love it here. And so really, as a counter offer, local management offered me a position in marketing. So I took a job in sales, and it was really a good move, better hours and better money, that's for sure, until COVID came along, at least. I mean, sales were great, and they're coming back around now, but I was really getting the best of both worlds, because I was in sales, but I was still in the studio every day and still doing production for my clients, and had quite a few endorsements, and still doing live remote broadcasts and that kind of thing, even though I was in sales.
Wow, this is a super interesting story. And I love that you're speaking from the perspective of the radio DJ side. A lot of the people we've been interviewing on the podcast have been on the club and party and sometimes even wedding DJ side. So this is a really great opportunity for us to dive deeper into the radio DJ side and talk to us a little bit about the radio DJ side and just how it differs from being a club DJ or wedding DJ or corporate DJ. Talk to us about just overall what it entails to be a radio DJ and some of the things that you need to do as that in that role.
Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, it's one thing to be knowledgeable of the music. That's one thing you have to do in both. But with radio, it's just totally different, because typically a program director has your playlist already set out, maybe even days in advance. Whereas, you know, if you're DJing a wedding or something, you've got to make those decisions on the fly. What are you playing next? So that's one thing that differs for sure.
And talk to me about the business of it, you know, as a radio DJ versus being like a DJ at a party or a club. Typically, you'll see more of an entrepreneurial skill set in like a DJ that have to find their own gigs and perform and be at these different parties, events, concerts, and such like that. What do you see on the radio side? Is it more of like an employment kind of thing where you're an employee and you're, you know, in this, you know, kind of box of what you're able to do, or do you have flexibility and freedom? You know, just talk to me about like the life and the day of a radio DJ.
Yeah, it's very scientific. You know, the songs, like I said, they're already laid out. You might have, it depends on the format of the radio station, but like with a top 40 station or a hip hop station, you have like maybe 6 or 8 songs that are in a power rotation that are they might play every hour and 15 minutes all day long, rotating through. So it's totally different. It kind of goes back to sales, really, because you've got to have ratings in order to generate revenue for your radio station. So it's completely different. You know, playing a song, I'll say this all the time. It's one thing to like a song enough that you want to roll down the windows and turn up the volume, but it's another thing to like a song enough that you want to dance to it. And so there's a really big difference in that regard to being a radio DJ versus a mobile DJ.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different psychology. You have to understand the listener and the person that you're playing to versus the radio and, you know, at a party or a club. It's a lot different. So you have to really come with a different mindset. And to be able to do that well, it takes time and experience and really iterating on your the way that you think about your DJing sets and curating those playlists. So super excited. You know, it's super different from what we're used to on the podcast. So I just want to hear, you know, what do you love most about being in that space? Because you said that you've done both the club side and the radio side. So what are the pros and cons of each side, would you say, and some advice to the people that are thinking about going the radio DJ route?
Yeah, I mean, I love radio and it's been my life. But there's no doubt that the radio led me down this path to be able to do the things that I have as a mobile DJ. And even really being a mobile DJ and a club DJ are two different things, because when you show up at the club, you've already got a sound system and lighting. A lot of times you can just show up with your decks and plug and play, and that usually doesn't pay as well either. You know, you can justify it when you do a wedding and you're bringing in all of this gear, the big speakers and lighting and all your equipment. It makes a little more sense when you're asking for more money. So, you know, I've been passionate about all three, but I can tell you, as I get a little older, I do enjoy weddings more than anything. I think that's really become my specialty, and it's something I feel like I can do for the unforeseeable future. But at some point, I gotta let go of these little sweet 16 birthday parties and homecoming dances and proms and stuff like that. But I still enjoy it for the most part. But you know, you wanna do what you really know that you're best at, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And how would you say that the DJing radio stations has helped your other aspects of DJing? I would assume that because you're on the radio, it gives you much more of a brand that you can kind of promote and get more bookings and get more people to know who you are. But what are some other things that you may say like has been just a blessing and a benefit from being a radio DJ?
Well, it's taught me how to work the microphone. You know, that when it comes to working a crowd, there's a lot to be said about that. As a matter of fact, I just DJed a wedding this past weekend, and one of the photographers came up to me and said, "I just want you to know that you've done a really good job, not only with the music, but your announcements." He had done a wedding recently in which the DJ didn't even have a microphone. And I'm like, how do you do your job? Because there's a that's very important, announcing the first dance and the father-daughter dance, and it's time to cut the cake, and we're going to do the garter toss and the bouquet toss. Now we need everybody outside for the sparkler exit. You've got to have a microphone, and you've got to know how to communicate with people. So radio definitely taught me how to do that.
Yeah, man, I think that's really amazing. And it kind of shows the impact and the role that DJs play at various events. Like, they really have the opportunity to move the crowd and to control the flow in an event. And that's an integral part, especially for like a wedding, which is a very important day in people's lives, for you to really have that impact and to make the, you know, bride and groom very happy and special. So that's amazing. And I love, you know, that you got good reviews from the people at that wedding. And that's also an amazing thing that you're able to dabble in all these different fields of DJing and just not stay in one lane. I think that your experience is super diverse, and it puts you in a great position to just kind of do whatever you want, because you have so much versatile experience in the industry, man. You know, tell me, you know, some of the things that you are loving most about just the industry and being a DJ, and kind of what you see is some of the challenges that other DJs are facing and how they can overcome it.
That's a good question. I think the one thing that I'm hearing more and more often lately is that people are trying to save money by just renting a speaker and setting up a Spotify playlist or something for your wedding. You are setting yourself up for a disaster if you do that. You know, again, that's been one of my selling points over the years. You can have the most beautiful venue and the best food on the planet and all these pretty flowers and everything, but if the DJ sucks, your wedding is a disaster. People aren't going to remember the food. They're going to remember whether or not they had a good time. And that all goes back to the DJ. So that's a challenge for sure. And again, that goes back to technology. Just a few years ago, something like that wasn't even an option. And now it is. And so we've got to overcome it for sure.
Definitely, man. And I'm glad that, you know, you realize that there's a lot of obstacles that are going on with new technology and then also just the situation we're in with this pandemic. You know, what are some things that you've learned over the course of your entire career as a DJ? Some things that you know now that you wish that you knew when you were first getting started?
Ooh, that's a deep one. Well, I wish I can tell you this. I wish I would have made the switch to digital a lot sooner. And I had so many friends telling me this, that, you know, I'm carrying around books of CDs with me when I go DJ a party. And they're all like, man, one of these days you're going to make the switch and you're going to get on Serato or Traktor and you're going to think to yourself, why didn't I do this sooner? And that absolutely happened to me. And then even with speakers, I think about a time when I was hauling around amps and plugging in speakers and just, you know, again, it's technology. There are things that have made the job so much easier now. And I love it even more. And that's part of the reason why, is because it's so simple to set up and break down. And then you can really enjoy the moment a little more. Lighting too. I remember back in the day when I'm screwing in individual par cans on a crossbar, setting up lighting for the dance floor. And now they've got units like the, I'm rocking the gig bar right now. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that thing is awesome. You take the entire unit out of a bag and just set it up on top of your tripod and boom, you've got a light show. It's got moving heads and derbies and lasers and everything all in one unit. It's incredible.
That's amazing, man. And I love how you mentioned that you're just keeping up with technology, and you saw the light where, you know, you switched over, you know, to software as opposed to carrying all the music yourself. Yep. You know, what other technologies are you excited about or have been learning how to use or are interested in using going forward as we become, you know, more tech savvy in regards to DJing and the whole industry becomes more technological?
Well, I like to, you got to think about, for me, for example, if I want to stick with just doing weddings, there are some things that I would love to get into, but I just don't know that if it's necessary. When you get into DMX controlling for your lighting and that kind of thing, I think that's pretty exciting. But I would love to, I see a lot of DJs who've incorporated easy ways to upsell people, like by adding a photo booth or maybe uplighting all around the room, or offering just additional services like that to make a few extra bucks. You know, I've subcontracted out those types of services myself over the years, but, you know, why not take it on? Maybe I'll even take in a partner and be able to offer some of those services like that.
Yeah, that's extremely smart, man. It allows you to be able to get more money, and you're able to offer these great services to your clientele, which gives them more incentive to book you over other DJs. You know, at the end of the day, it's still competition out there. You have to stand out amongst the crowd. And why not, you know, add those resources that can allow you to make more money and doing it in an easy way? You know, whether you know how to use the technology or whether you're subcontracting it out to other people, be able to build your revenue higher based on your offerings. So that's awesome that you recommend. And I think that DJs just being able to see and hear these examples of what you can do to increase your business allows people to have these ideas on how they could implement it themselves. So thank you for sharing this. This is like really amazing, man. I'd love to hear, you know, what are some things that you're currently focused on now, and how can myself and our audience support you?
I don't know. I mean, I've really been blessed even through the pandemic. It was really bad this time last year, like in March and April of 2020, to have zero gigs during one of the busiest times of the year historically was kind of weird. But ever since then, it's picked up, and I had a lot of my events luckily were rescheduled rather than canceled. And so I made up that money on the back end, essentially. You know, I did 11 weddings in October. So that was nuts.
And this is actually amazing to hear, because I interview a lot of DJs, talk to a lot of DJs, and not many people were as fortunate as you. What did you do differently than other DJs to allow yourself to thrive in this environment?
Well, I think that goes back to location. I think in retrospect, I made a really good decision to stay here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and stay close to my family and friends rather than make a move to a bigger market. And yeah, I've jokingly said over the years, I'm not trying to be Ryan Seacrest. If I can make a good living and enjoy what I do, I'm living a life. And so I'm glad I'm here, because I hear those horror stories too, and I see them, and I'm in like some DJ groups on Facebook, and I see where in other parts of the country, they still haven't opened up to be able to do events, or I hear about DJs asking for recommendations because they have to DJ a prom this weekend and they're not allowing dancing. How in the world is that even possible? I don't know. So I've been blessed to be here in South Mississippi, where, of course we were shut down there for a minute, but even during that time, there were folks having weddings at venues that were maybe out of the city limits, and they could get away with things out there. And of course we were wearing masks and that kind of thing, but I'm just lucky to be here where I'm at and able to work, for sure.
That's wonderful, man. Congrats to you, and awesome for Mississippi, giving you an opportunity to be able to do your job, and really hoping that the rest of the country are able to safely reopen and DJs are able to get back to work. And that's also, what we're trying to do, just help DJs get back to work, even in a virtual hybrid environment. We're allowing DJs to stream at the same time while they're in their in-person events. So that's something that I'm super excited about, and think that there's a lot of opportunity in the hybrid world where DJs can make money both online and offline, doing the same kind of work. So we're super glad that we're connected to you, and are super excited that we're able to, support you in whatever ways we can, and really follow you on your journey as you continue in everything that you're doing. At this time, we'll have to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Sure.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
All right. So I'm running Traktor. I love Traktor. And I've got my controller is even Traktor. There's that. I love EV. I'm using the EV powered speakers. I've got tops and my bass cabinets are EV as well. And then, like I mentioned, I'm using the gig bar right now. And for a bigger event, I would pair it up with another one and have two. But in most cases, I can get away with just the one setup.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Ooh, that's a good one. Because again, I'm thinking, okay, my favorite mobile DJ, or like a DJ who's had national success and hits on the radio, It's
completely up to you.
Yeah. Cause I'm a radio guy. So I love Calvin Harris. And I've seen him live. I thought he put on a great show. David Guetta was great in concert. That's one cool thing too about working for iHeart. I've been to the iHeart Radio Music Festival in Las Vegas. I've gotten to go three times. So you see all different genres of music and get to see it live right there in front of you, man. It's incredible. But David Guetta was good, and Calvin Harris was amazing too.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Oh, the first one that comes to mind, this was so fun. I got to open for Sir Mix-a-Lot. He came to Hattiesburg, and it was like, I don't know, the 20th anniversary of Baby Got Back. And he was playing at a local club, and the owner hit me up and asked me if I'd be interested in playing a, like maybe, I think it was even on a Thursday night. So he wanted me to do like a throwback Thursday set before Sir Mix-a-Lot came out. And that was really a lot of fun. That's the first one that comes to mind. I've had some great experiences. I mean, when we've been in the game as long as I have, but that, I think that one popped up on my time hop just last week. So it's kind of fresh on my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Okay, this is good. Through DJing, because I keep going back to radio. I've met so many interesting people over the years. But
it could be through radio as well.
I'm trying to think of somebody that would be relevant too, though. You know, because I've had some neat experience. Again, because I'm into so many different genres of music. But I can tell you, I'll tell you a quick story about a band by the name of Seven Dust and their lead singer. It's so cool to me when you see an African-American guy as the lead singer of a rock band. That's always been intriguing to me. But a dear friend of mine was a big Seven Dust fan, and sadly, he was killed in a car accident. But he was such a big fan of Seven Dust that his family put a line to one of their songs on his gravestone. So shortly after his death, Seven Dust was playing at the House of Blues in New Orleans, which is about an hour and a half away from Hattiesburg. And through my radio contacts, I was able to get in touch with their management and share the story. And they gave me 10 tickets to the show with backstage passes. LaJean dedicated the show to Ben live on stage. And I just thought that was the most incredible thing. That, you know, it was a really cool experience, but such a nice guy that I've gotten to meet several times over the years. And he's meant a lot to me in the music industry for sure. Not, you know, that's nothing DJ related, but that's the first thing that popped in my head for sure.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Well, I can't really say, because I only tried it. I literally tried it one time back during the pandemic, and I was through some suggestions from people saying that, like, say Instagram had a better sound quality than Facebook. So I thought, okay, well, let's go with Instagram. But then I got booted off after two or three attempts. I guess there were some copyright infringements or something going on there. So I shut it down and really haven't even attempted to do it since. But again, that goes back to the fact that I've been blessed enough to, between my full-time job with iHeartMedia and the gigs on the weekends doing weddings and stuff, I've been so busy that I haven't really spent much time with it. What would you say to that question, since I didn't really answer it?
I would say copyrights. Okay. And monetization.
Okay. Yeah, so I was onto something there with the copyright for sure, because you see live musicians. I see guys playing the guitar live streaming, and they've got their Venmo and PayPal and Cash App handles up there. They're making money playing somebody else's music. Why can't I make some money from pressing play and playing the actual version? I'm promoting you. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Let's see. I've met some pretty cool guys over the years that have been doing this a long time. I'd love for you to reach out to a buddy of mine here in Hattiesburg by the name of DJ Trazy, T-R-A-Z-Y. He's much like me. He's kind of weaned off the club gigs and more so doing the weddings and stuff like that now, but he does a great job. I've got a friend up in Tupelo, Mississippi by the name of DJ Kevin Russell. He would have a very similar story to me. This is a guy with a radio background who has a very successful mobile DJing business as well. And he's been in the game a long time too. I'm sure he could give you some insight. Cujo. That's who you need to reach out to. My man DJ Cujo is incredible, and he kind of bounces back and forth between Hattiesburg and Jackson, Mississippi, but he's had regional success. I mean, he's really out there and doing big things, so check him out for sure. DJ Cujo, shout out.
Wonderful, man. We look forward to hearing their stories. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show, you can sign up at djsignup.com. And where can people find you, either online or in person, if you're still doing events?
Yeah, well, you can certainly get at me on social media. Just search for DJ Don King on Facebook, and then I am Your Boy DK everywhere else. That was my old radio name, Your Boy Don King. So Your Boy DK stuck as a handle on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm also DJ.Don.King on TikTok. So hit me up.
Awesome, man. This has been a really great interview. Super excited to hear your story, especially just with your great experience in the radio side of things. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Don King, a really amazing guy, and you'll love to follow him. So thank you, brother, for spending time with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good luck to you too, man. Appreciate it.